So you've got millions of terribly unfortunate people that are paying the price for the instability in their countries. You've got enormous wealth, but it's controlled by a very small number of people, whether it's in uranium or diamonds or other materials that are in the earth. And then you've got other natural resources, but it's nobody except a few people are benefiting from that. And so you've got an instability there that is causing, I think, is going to cause hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people to decide that their only chance to survive is to leave, to get away from that instability and head to Europe. So in my view, the Kremlin, of course, knows this. This is not an accidental or coincidental outcome. This is something that they want to accelerate, to put more pressure on European countries. The French, and I'm not expert on this, but the French have lost influence in the region. And so there's a bit of a vacuum there. And Mr. Prigozhin and his Wagner mercenaries are in business in this region, extracting enormous amounts of wealth, either from the people in power or from the mines themselves. Now, that's a heck of a business model, and a lot of that money goes back to Russia. Of course, I can't prove this, but my assessment is that part of the reason that Prigozhin is still alive and not in jail is because Putin told him, "Look, I'll let you live and I'll let you continue to walk around free and have your business, but I need you back in Africa and focus your efforts there. Continue to send money home, but also whatever instability you can help create or accelerate there, that will have a positive effect for Russia in its war against Ukraine and its competition with Europe." So I think that's a part of it. The terrorist extremists, Islamic extremists, and terrorist organizations that are there, of course, they're able to take advantage of that instability as well, and the very unhappy people that live there.
What, if anything, can or should the U.S. military do in this situation?
So this is a great question, the U.S. has U.S. Africa Command, which is based in Stuttgart. We've had different variations of special forces, regular forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, operating in there. But the scale of the challenge and the inadequacy of resources to match the challenge is always going to leave us falling short of what it is we're trying to accomplish. Africa is the continent of Africa is three times the size of continental United States. So, I mean, just for a sense of scale of what we're talking about. And so it's not that if we just had 50,000 more U.S. troops there in Africa, things would be a lot better. It has to come back to the strategy again. What is the outcome that we want for strategic outcome that the U.S. is seeking for the continent of Africa, but also the many different nations that are there in Africa that are also different from each other and have so many different competing issues and challenges and opportunities. And I think what can the U.S. military do? What they have been doing is trying to help build capacity in the various militaries that are there. Set an example of how military in a liberal democratic country operates with respect for civilian authority and helping them be able to defend themselves. I think that's probably at this point the best that we're going to be able to do.
Retired General Ben Hodges, former commander of U.S. Army Europe. G.G. Green, WTOP News.